And good morning. Welcome back to In Focus here at News Radio KMAN. We're going to talk some Fort Riley. Brady Bowman with you, and we have in studio right now, we got Fort Riley Anti-Terrorism Officer Pat Birch and Fort Riley Museum's Director Dr. Bob Smith. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Brady.
How are you doing?
How are we doing?
Doing good.
Doing great.
All right.
Good to be here.
It's victory week. It's a big week.
Yeah, it's an awesome week.
A lot of things going on. We'll get to that. Let's go ahead and we'll start with Pat, because there's another thing. It's victory week right now, and we're always aware of that, but maybe something we're not too aware of is it's actually Anti-Terrorism Awareness Month. Is that right?
Yes, it is. This is our eighth annual year observing Anti-Terrorism Awareness Month here for the Army. It's something, like I said, we do every year. We'll have a couple key themes that we like to bring out and talk to our community about.
And Pat, talk a little bit about, I guess, your personal history with Fort Riley and Anti-Terrorism Officer, not something you hear about too often.
Well, yeah, we're kind of like an unknown, if you will. There's not too many of us around. I got to Fort Riley in 2011, and it's been a great time. I'd been overseas, and it'd been at Fort Stewart prior to coming here. I've been in anti-terrorism one way or another for about the past 25 years.
25 years, which is something to think about, because we always think about everything just being past 9/11, and then we weren't thinking about this at all before then, but we were.
Well, yeah, it's evolved over the years. I mean, a lot of things that are in anti-terrorism today, we're in the law enforcement community. I started out as an MP in the Army a long, long time ago, and went over into the intelligence field for a while. So many of the things that we did back then, it kind of moved over into the realm of anti-terrorism, and it got very specific about the late 90s. And unfortunately, 9/11 made it very, very important.
Here with Pat Birch, who here is speaking. He's an installation anti-terrorism officer and threat analyst in the garrison. Is it OPSEC? Is that the way you'd say it?
Well, yeah, it's the OPSEC program manager, operational security, and we're going to talk a little bit about that too today.
All right. So let's just sticking back to Anti-Terrorism Awareness Month real quick. What are some of the key themes for this year?
Well, some of the key themes we're focusing on this year is, of course, reporting, recognizing and reporting suspicious activity. We are talking about operational security because it all ties together. And we have some cybersecurity things we want to discuss. And our special emphasis category this year is school safety.
Which doesn't really surprise me. I mean, that's something that we've been thinking about. I mean, really, I guess you can go back to 1997 with Columbine and think about it as kind of some origins there. But it seems like especially the last 2 years, we're really starting to give it a whole new level of seriousness.
Yeah, it's rather unfortunate that school shootings have been something that we've had to contend with. Nobody wants those. And that's kind of why we've been trying to put out some PSAs, like Sandy Hook Promise Organization. They put out a great public service announcement that we've linked to our social media. And I just want to encourage people to go look at that, because we want folks to understand that one of the first and best lines of defense in our school safety programs is recognizing those indicators when somebody's having some troubles and some issues. And if we can get ahead of that ball, then maybe we can prevent bad things from happening to good people.
Brady Bowman here with Pat Birch. He's the Installation Anti-Terrorism Officer. Also in studio, we have Dr. Bob Smith, the Director of Fort Riley Museums, and we'll get to more on that a little bit later, and also Victory Week tie-ins a little bit later. Pat, the iWatch program, it's a big part of the Army's anti-terrorism efforts. If you can tell us a little bit about what iWatch is. It's not like an Apple iWatch.
No. Well, the iWatch kind of ties right into that recognizing and reporting suspicious activity theme. iWatch is something we talk about every year. It is a neighborhood watch program. And what we try to tell people is it's about reporting that suspicious activity, that behavior that just doesn't quite seem right or feel right for what is being seen in the area. And we want folks to report that. We want them to reach out to us. You can find iWatch on the 1st Infantry Division page. If you look in the lower left-hand corner, you'll see the word iWatch there. You can click on that link, and it's going to take you to a page. It's got phone numbers and an email address and a web form link that you can use to report activity that you see. We encourage people just, you know, if you see something odd, just report it. Don't make more of it. Don't make less of it. Just let us know so our law enforcement community can look into it and assess what that information actually means.
And Dr. Bob, let's go ahead. We'll talk to you a little bit later, but let's go ahead and get you in on some of this discussion. And I guess maybe looking at it from like a somewhat of a historical perspective as far as this sort of emphasis and maybe just anti-terrorism awareness when it comes to Army posts?
Well, you know, the museums are sort of always considered quiet places, but we have to take that into account, too. And with our number of visitors, and the Army has been extremely vigilant in, and I'll lean over to Pat here on this, on vetting our visitors that come on post to visit our museums. But I will say that it really, with their vigilance, it has not really affected the visitation, though, at the museums. Most people think that the Army posts with the checking of the folks that come on post have affected our museum visitation, but it has not been the case in the last few years.
And I'm sure there's always just kind of just visitation on post, just in general. It always kind of ebbs and flows sometimes as far as security restrictions and how you get in. I'm sure you've seen and noticed changes over the years.
We've noticed some changes, but it really hasn't, overall, it has not affected our visitation. We are closed now, but we average between 40 and 50,000 visitors a year, which is a considerable number of people coming through the post.
For sure, for sure. Dr. Bob Smith, with the Director of Museums for Fort Riley, also got Pat Birch with the anti-terrorism, he's the anti-terrorism officer and threat analyst for Fort Riley. Again, phone lines are open if you have any questions, 785-537-1350. And Pat, just going back to that emphasis of school security when it comes to Anti-Terrorism Awareness Month, obviously, we kind of addressed this a little bit. We have seen an increase in incidents involving active shooters, specifically in schools, if the unthinkable ever does happen. You know, what advice does Fort Riley have for folks they find themselves in that position?
Well, some of the training that we do centers on the run, hide, fight concept. And basically what we tell folks is that the key piece of information you need to know is, where do I think the active shooter is? Is he far enough away from me that I can run? You know, can I get away? And the key element in being able to get away is having a plan in mind and having a route, a couple different routes just in case, like in the Columbine incident where they may have locked gates. Actually, that was Virginia Tech. So have a plan, have a route. Then the next thing we would ask is, if that shooter's too close and you can't get away, we'd ask you got to hide. So you're going to try to find a place where you can maybe barricade the doors, you can turn off the lights, you know, you're going to have your cell phone with you, maybe there's a couple people with you, and we would ask that, you know, one person get on the phone to 911 and let them know, you know, how many people are in the room and what's going on and what they can hear. But we also tell them that you're not locked. You may be locked down, but you're not locked in. We want them to think about making sure there's another way out of the room if possible. That way, if that shooter tries to get in to that room, they have another way of escape. And lastly, and most unfortunate, is if you're right there, unfortunately, with that gunman, and you can't get away, and you can't hide, then you've got to make that decision to fight. And that's a pretty hard decision to make, but it's something we encourage people to think about. You know, if I'm forced to do this, how am I going to do it? How am I going to contend with the situation? What do I have on hand that I can use to help defend myself with? And we tell people, too, that if there's two or three of you there, work together. Don't just leave it up to one person to try to fight off the bad guy, if you will. Work as a team. Your chances of having success are a lot greater.
Brady Bowman with you on K-Man's In Focus. We're talking with folks from Fort Riley in studio. I have Dr. Bob Smith, the Director of Museums at Fort Riley, and also got Pat Birch, the Anti-Terrorism Officer for Fort Riley, who you just heard speaking. And one thing that's come up with this sort of discussion, and, you know, even on this program, on these airwaves, we've had a lot of school folks, school officials, board members that come on the show very frequently, and since these incidents have increased, we've, you know, talked about this sort of subject and talked about security increasingly. What tips do you have for school districts? And this is a big topic in public education right now, is how do we beef up security at schools? What tips do you have from a Fort Riley perspective?
Well, I think it's kind of a difficult issue because, you know, USD 475 and the other school districts, they have their own people and their own plans that they're working on. So I wouldn't want to comment too much on those. But I want to go back to that original theme of reporting what you see that's out of place, right? So if you looked at that Sandy Hook video, it's a great video because they actually have set it up so as you're watching the video, you're focused on one person, but you miss the indicators that are in the background, and they go back and they review what those indicators are. And I think that's really the best thing to do. And one of the things I would really encourage everybody to look at is look at those indicators, because if you can recognize that stuff up front, you're going to get ahead of it. It's going to be so much easier to contend with. Because if you wait and you're going to depend upon, you know, can my doors be locked? Do we have everything that we need to do to respond? That's very resource intensive, right? So you want to try to get ahead of it as much as possible. And like I said, I want to go back to the whole theme of recognizing those indicators, telling people about those indicators so the right folks can be brought in to get that person help and that the right responses can be taken.
And this Sandy Hook video, can you elaborate on what video you're talking about?
Well, the Sandy Hook Promise Organization, they did a public service announcement, and it's basically kind of a scenario where they have a gentleman where he is trying to find out who this potential girl is that's interested in him. So as they're following through the storyline, in the background, you'll see an individual who's actually planning the active shooter incident. But the video ends by saying, hey, did you recognize all those indicators? Chances are you didn't, because why? You were focused on what is normal life, your day-to-day activities. And that's kind of the hidden theme of the video is we go through our day-to-day and we probably see things, but oftentimes we just don't recognize what it is, or we just kind of discount it, and it's very subtle. So we got to look for those little subtle oddities and think a little bit more about them. They're very important.
And that's kind of more of a preventive sort of perspective. We talked a lot about kind of what you do in the moment, or how do you prepare after an incident if one would ever happen, but this is kind of more of a preventative sort of look.
Exactly. And that's where we're really driving at, is we want to try to prevent these things because they're much, much easier to deal with, and the outcomes can be so much better. It can be better for the person who was thinking about doing those bad things to good people. And of course, it's excellent for the people who are going to be the intended victims, because they don't know they were going to be an intended victim. Right, they know, they don't realize that they are able to pursue and continue on with their lives as they plan them, whereas because we recognized it early and we got the right people involved, that person who had all those struggles and issues can now get the help that they need instead of becoming an actual subject of a criminal investigation or being convicted of a crime.
And it's something that I'm sure most people don't think about when it comes to Fort Riley, right? You think of an Army post of always being 100% secure, but you have schools, you have some elementary schools on post, so you still got to be prepared and think about these things.
Yeah, and we work pretty closely with our partners there at 475 and with the surrounding law enforcement communities so that we can, you know, we can stay ahead of this as best as we possibly can. And like I said, prevent it is a whole heck of a lot better than having to respond to it.
Agreed on that. Folks are wanting some more information. Where do they go?
Well, what you can do is you can, once again, I encourage you to go to that iWatch link on the 1st Infantry Division page. When you link to that page, you'll see stuff that we've posted there. I would also watch Fort Riley social media. We've been putting out newspaper articles. We've been putting out some public service announcements through our social media folks there on Fort Riley. So just watch all those things. And if you've got any questions, people are, you know, they can contact my office, and I'll be glad to take the time to try to help them out.
Very good. Let's go ahead and take another break. When we come back, we will talk with Dr. Bob Smith of Fort Riley Museums, the director of Fort Riley Museums. Talk a little more Fort Riley. On the other side, you're listening to News Radio KMAN.